So you may remember last time we talked about St. John Bosco in the seminary, that in the seminary he was a good friend of Luis Camolo, and they have an agreement with each other that whoever died first will come back, let the other know what's going on. And so Camolo did die young, and he fulfilled his promise. He came back, and it was a scary coming back, because the whole building was shaking, and there was an interesting noise coming, and then also there was interesting light, and everybody was so scared. And then John Bosco heard Luis telling him, "Bosco, Bosco, Bosco, I am saved." But because of that scary experience, John Bosco was so sick, and he almost died. But one day, because his mom bought him food and wine and
cornbread,
yeah. And then he ate everything, because he tried a bit. The stomach didn't react in a negative way, and he tried a bit more. And then he finished one and add another one and drink some wine and in between. And then he fell asleep, and then he slept for 2 whole days. And then when he woke up, he was completely cured. So John Bosco was a really outstanding student. When he finished his third year theology, he asked the bishop permission to do the fourth year theology in the 2 months in the summertime. His reason given to the bishop was, "I'm old," and he was 25 at that time. So in those days, you know, it's considered old when you are 25. So he finished fourth year in 2 months, and then he finished his fifth year theology, and he was ordained on June 5th, 1841. The ordination took place in the Archbishop of Turin's residence in the chapel, and St. John Bosco wrote, "The priest does not go to heaven or hell alone. If he is worthy, he will go to heaven together with the soul saved by the good example he set. If he is unworthy, if he provokes a scandal, he will go to hell together with the souls lost by his bad example." So John Bosco, strict on himself, he make resolution as a priest. He would rarely go out unless it's really for pastoral reason. He would limit himself to 5 hours of sleep every night. So for us, for some of us, it's something to admire more than to imitate. So John Bosco, he celebrated Thanksgiving Mass in different places. And only on June the 10th that he finally satisfied his own people in his own village to go back to the village and celebrate a solemn Mass. It was the Feast of Corpus Christi. So June the 10th, it was the Feast of Corpus Christi. Remember, in those days, Corpus Christi is always on a Thursday. Nowadays, we moved that to the closest Sunday in many dioceses, but still in Rome, it's on Thursday. After Holy Trinity Sunday. So, after the Eucharistic, the Mass and the Eucharistic procession, he wrote that, "As I approached my home, the place where I had had my dream when I was 9 years old." Remember that dream? You know, that the young people, "I couldn't hold back my tears when I thought of how wonderful were the ways of divine providence. God has picked a poor boy from the earth to place him with the princes of his people." So that day when Mother Margaret was alone with Don Bosco, she said, "You are a priest, you celebrate Mass, and therefore you are closer to Jesus Christ. Remember, though, that celebrating Mass is the beginning of suffering. Although you may not realize it now, you will gradually come to understand that I was right. I'm sure that you will pray for me daily, whether I'm alive or dead. And this is all I want. From now on, think only of the salvation of souls and do not worry about me." So Margaret, as I said, she was already now venerable, so one day she may become a saint, beatified and canonized. You know, when in different important moments of Don Bosco, you know, she always give motherly advice, like in his first communion, she told John Bosco to confess sin properly, you know, and also to receive communion frequently. And then when John Bosco was going to enter the seminary, and he just, you know, being dressed as a seminarian, then Margaret told him, you know, if you are doubt of your vocation, you know, take off this clerical garb. I'd rather to a poor farmer as a son than a priest who neglect his duty. And then he also remembered, she told John Bosco, "When you were young, I consecrate you to Our Lady." So she encouraged John Bosco to be friends with those who have devotion to Our Lady. And then now as a priest, that Margaret also told John Bosco, you know, when you celebrate Mass, you know, it's also the beginning of suffering. So, and then she told John Bosco, "Don't worry about me, pray for me is all I want." So every important moment, you know, Margaret was there to give motherly advice to John Bosco. In the first 5 months as a priest, John Bosco was helping a parish priest. So he preached every Sunday. He was helping out in the parish. He would visit the sick. He would do funerals and baptize babies. John Bosco, as we know, you know, the Salesian. If you think about the Franciscan, they emphasize poverty. The Dominican emphasize obedience. And John Bosco's main focus, big focus, is on chastity. So he loved that Saint Aloysius Gonzaga, who is the model for purity. And so in those couple months when John Bosco baptized any baby boy, he always gave either the first or second name Aloysius. So the record of those times found a lot of baby baptized with the name Aloysius, because they were done by John Bosco. So he says his favorite thing, Aloysius. So now he was 26 years old, newly ordained, you know. 26, you know, I was ordained as 30. You know, he is quite young still. 26. He got free offer of assignment. I think in those days it would be a bit of a different system. You know, you can actually be offered an assignment and then you pick and which one you want to pick. So the first offer was to be a tutor for a wealthy family. So the salary would be 1,000 lira every year. So it's a considerable amount in those days. So the relatives and the friends of John Bosco say, "Take this job, it's so much money, take it." And then Mama Margaret said, "My son in the house of a rich gentleman? What would this 1,000 lira profit him or me or his brother Joseph if John were to lose his soul?" So she was concerned, you know, it's danger for the soul when you are with rich people. So the second offer is the chaplaincy in his native place. So what does chaplaincy mean? In those days, then of course they are divided into different parishes, but wealthy people, they would build chapels. And the chapel would have mass there every day. So the priest who would say mass in those chapel is the chaplain. But also in those days, the chaplain would also act as a school teacher as well in that place. So there was in his native place, there was a chapel. Somebody built a chapel, they need a chaplain to say mass there every day. And the villagers, because they really like John Bosco, they want him to be the school teacher to teach their children. So they offer, "We would double the salary," you know. So they're talking about money again, you know, "We would double that, you know. So we want to get you." And then the third one would be to be the assistant pastor for the priest that he is helping out right now. So, and then he was being loved by the parish priest and the people there. He was popular there. So here are three assignments. He can pick any one of the three. If you were him, which one are you going to pick?
The third one.
The third one?
Either the third or second one.
Wait, either the third or second one? Okay. None of the above, the answer is. Because John Bosco, whenever he did something important, he wanted to do the will of God. For him, money doesn't mean anything. He wanted to do the will of God. And he wasn't sure what to do, so what did he do? He consulted. He consulted a holy priest, St. Joseph Cavasso, in Turin. So, St. Joseph Cavasso at that time, what was his position in Turin? He was actually assisting the rector of an institute called the Convito Ecclesiastico, whatever that means. The Convito is basically an institute for newly ordained priests. They can receive pastoral courses and training there. So that they are basically, if after you ordain, you have further study, you can study there, pastoral theology. And then also, you will also do pastoral work, do practicum, basically, so that you can be trained to be priest, really know how to do pastoral work in a good way, according to the time and the need of the place. So that's where he was. And St. Joseph Cavasso told him, do not accept any of these offers. He told him, come to the institute and finish your priestly formation. And so he took the advice of Joseph Cavasso and he went there. When usually priests study 2 years in the institute, but John Bosco was exception, he was there for 3 years. And then when he went there, the rector was also a holy priest, he was the one who started the institute. He worked out in a way that John Bosco doesn't have to pay a penny. So all the exams being looked after. So in that particular institute, they have rules for the priest to observe. But the rules is really moderate. It's not really strict. So that in such a way that the priest can make those rules his own. That even when he was on his own in the future by himself, in a remote parish, he could still keep the rules on his own. So the daily spiritual exercise would be like Holy Mass. Morning, evening prayers together. And then they would pay a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. Would pray 5 decades of the rosary. Would have half an hour of meditation and 15 minutes of spiritual reading. And then after practice would be like every week there would be confession, weekly confession. Would do some acts of mortification on Fridays. There are certain specific time you keep silent. And then there's a monthly exercise for a happy death. So if you have been studying for in a Salesian school, you know that that's a common exercise among the Salesian students. They have every month they pray for a happy death and pray especially for the one among us who would be the first one to die. So they pray that every month there's an exercise like that. So now you know where that came from. Because when he found the Salesian order, he basically include all those practice in the Salesian orders. So the spirituality of the Salesian is really much influenced by that institute where St. John Bosco studied for 3 years. Now, being in that institute actually helped him to start his work and realize his vocation. St. John Bosco, so he studied there. There were 45 priests studying, and they were trained to become priests of the time and of the society in which they would have to live and work. So usually the schedule there also, if there is a morning conference given by the rector, a wonderful theologian who found Father Louis, who found that institute, and there's an evening conference given by St. Joseph Cavasso. He was the assistant of the rector. He was the professor there. And he keen on teaching moral theology. He was a really good moral theologian, St. Joseph Cavasso. And during the day, the priest would go out to do apostolic work. So they can also discuss their experience apostolic work. So they would be working like in hospital, in prison, in the different charitable institution and different places. They would do their apostolic work during the day. And also from the year 1841, St. Joseph Cafasso became the spiritual director and confessor of St. John Bosco. So John Bosco went to him regularly for confession and also for spiritual direction. And Joseph Cafasso often said, "Become saints, the priesthood, what exalted dignity in this world, but also how great the obligations it imposes and the virtues it demands. A priest may be considered as holy by men, and yet not by God. A third of the virtues necessary for a priest can make him appear holy in the sight of men, but not before God, who knows the secrets of man's heart. One who is truly a priest will easily go to heaven after death, but if he is not fully a priest, it is far more likely that he will go to hell than purgatory." So St. Joseph Cafasso really encouraged the priest to become holy, and he himself was really holy. He was a lot of time he will be adoring the Blessed Sacrament. He was constantly doing good work, and he was really disciplined in his life. I think one time John Bosco gave him a cup of water, and then the bell rang for prayer or for the rosary. And Joseph Cafasso would just put down the water and want to go to the rosary, and John Bosco would say, "Just drink it, you know, you won't be late." But Joseph Cafasso would say, you know, he would prefer, you know, to go to pray the rosary, you know, than to delay that because of his own thirsty or whatever. So he was really, really followed the rules perfectly. And even people joked that saying that he looked like he would have no original sins, Joseph Cafasso. He was like an angel. He was a really, really zealous priest and a really holy man. One of the things that caught the imagination of the people was Joseph Cafasso's ability to help the condemned criminal. That when people condemned to death, St. Joseph Cafasso would, you know, visit the condemned criminal. He would spend time with the criminal. He would actually, the day of execution, he would celebrate Mass for the prisoner, brought communion, and help. So basically, everybody that he helped, even though they were hardened sinner, all of them died repentant. So he was able, he would accompany them 60 some criminal to death, and all of them died repentant. And so John Bosco, as you can know, that he know well about the poverty of the countryside. He came from the countryside. But now he is in a big city in Turin. And so Joseph Cafasso do encourage him to go and to look around. So he went out and see a lot of young people, they just hang out doing nothing. You know, because at that time, people were poor, they were looking for a job. People from a different place would actually went to Turin hoping to find a job. But a lot of them couldn't find a job, and so they were doing not much. And then when Joseph Cafasso also brought John Bosco to visit the prison, and John Bosco was sad to see so many young people in prison. 12 years old to 18 years old young people. And then when they left the prison, they have all the good intention in the world. They want to start new. But soon they came back, because they were left on their own. And so they were influenced by other, so much pressure, bad influence. And then he went to a hospital. He saw young people sick there, and some because of sexual disease. And so he was sad to see that young people, their life wasted away. in hospital, in prison, on the street doing nothing. And so John Bosco, you know, said, you know, who knows? If these boys were to find a friend outside who had taken loving care of them by helping them and teaching them religion on holy days, perhaps they would have kept away from wrongdoing and disaster, and thus would have avoided coming and returning to these prisons. Certainly the number of these young prisoners would be diminished. Would it not be highly beneficial both for religion and civil society to undertake such an experiment for the future advantage of countless other youngsters? So actually, some people do make that experiment, you know, to have some kind of special center for young people. But the priest in Turin wasn't that keen to take on those kind of experiments. Even though they see other places have done something like that. And also, you know, I think when we find that there is some new challenges, oftentimes people are a bit slow to adapt to new needs, you know. You can think about, you know, in our world today, you know, we still struggle as church of how to do new evangelization. We know that as a new reality now, a lot of the in the past, people usually come to church, you know, when they grow up, they will come to church. But nowadays, a lot of the baptized, they don't come to church. So I think we are still struggling how to adapt to this new reality and do things differently and help people to come to the church. And back in those days, you know, you got the situation that lots of, like, people immigrating from other places to Turin. And they want to find job there. So in the old days, it's less number of immigrants, then what happened is that you got a piece of recommendation letter from the parish priest back home, and then they would present it to the new parish, and they would be joining the parish catechism class and all the program, and they would join the parish. But in those days, the priests were complaining, you know, the young people, they are not doing that. They are not joining the parish because they're so big number and lots of them have no paper. And a lot of them were afraid to join the parish community. They don't feel belong to the community. So you got a lot of people, they are like immigrating to the big city, but they don't quite belong to any parish. And they are left on their own, and so they wander around, they got into troubles, they were misbehaving. And so it's a huge social issue there. There's a lot of young people, nobody look after them. So John Bosco is one of those special person who want to do something about it, you know. Lots of time people just sit back and complain that they don't know what to do. But, you know, John Bosco want to actually get his hand dirty and do something about it because he saw it's a social issue in Turin. There's young people that they need to look after. So he really had that desire to establish a center where abandoned youth could find a friend and ex-prisoner could find help and support so they won't go back to prison. But that job, that project started maybe really small but a bit unexpectedly on the Feast of Our Lady that year, on December 8th, 1841. It was the Feast of what? Immaculate Conception. Tomorrow, September 8th, is the birthday of Our Lady. Think about Immaculate Conception, when Our Lady, you know, in St. Anne's womb, and then 9 months later, St. Anne gave birth, so it's September the 8th. Okay, so tomorrow we have the birthday of Our Lady. But 9 months earlier, if December 8th, is the Immaculate Conception, that in her first moment of life, Our Lady have no original sin, immaculate. So on that day, John Bosco was, you know, he was getting ready for Mass. He was dressing and putting on the vestment for Mass. And there's no altar boy. So the sacristan asked the young boy at the corner, Bartholomew was his name, to serve Mass. But he said, I don't know how to serve Mass. So the sacristan got angry and get a thing and beat him up and say, why you are here? You don't know how to serve Mass. Get out of here. And he beat him up.
What a nice person.
Yeah, what a nice person. And then John Bosco yelled at him, tell him to stop, but he won't listen. And then the boy ran away. You know, he went out to a street, and then John Bosco basically told the sacristan, you know, well, you are not doing the right thing, and the sacristan, you know, why you care, you know? And then John Bosco say, he is my friend, you know? And then if you get the boy, come back. If you don't get him, come back, I will report against you. So the sacristan knew he's in trouble, so he went after the boy and then assured that he won't beat him up again, and they brought him to St. John Bosco. So John Bosco basically warned the boy not to get scared, you know, so he asked the boy, have you been to Mass today? No. So you attend Mass, and after Mass I will talk to you and say something that will make you happy. So basically he didn't want the boy have a bad memory, you know. So the boy stayed for Mass. And then after Mass, then he kindly, you know, asked the boy some question like your name, Bartholomew, you know. And then, how old? 16 years old. Where's your father? Oh, he's dead already. How's your mom? Oh, she's dead already too. Can you read and write? No, she couldn't. Can you sing? No. Can you whistle? Yes, you know, so it's a bit more confidence now. So then he's talking about, you know, do you go to Sunday Mass, you know, almost every Sunday. Do you go to confession? Yeah, I made confession before. Have you made your first communion? No. Haven't made my first communion. 16 years haven't made first communion. And you want to go to catechism class in the church? You know, I'm afraid, I feel ashamed because all those little children, they understood, you know, but I'm so old, you know. So, and then John Bosco said, how about if I teach you privately? Good idea. So you want to start? When do you want to start? Anytime. How about now? Okay. So they start the first lesson. So John Bosco, he knelt down, he entrusted this project to Our Lady, he prayed a Hail Mary. And then after that, he made the sign of the cross. But Bartholomew didn't make the sign of the cross. That means he didn't know how to. So the first lesson was on the sign of the cross. So that's the first lesson. So after the first lesson, John Bosco invited him to return the following Sunday and to bring some of his companions. So that week, you know, things do happen. You know, Bartholomew maybe told his companion, but also St. Joseph Cavasso, there was a boy who wanted instruction, so St. Joseph Cavasso said, okay, I can give you instruction. Later on, there's another boy came, and he found it's too much for him to handle, because he's so busy, so he introduced those two boys to John Bosco, and Bartholomew also brought six companions, so the next time you got like nine people coming for the class. And John Bosco invite them, okay, you can bring more people come. So the group getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Wow. So John Bosco always emphasized the importance that they attend Sunday Mass. He emphasized the importance that they do their morning prayer and their night prayers. And John Bosco also diligently prepared the boys to make good confessions. So he taught catechism class, and that's how he started the whole project of the center is called Oratory. It's a place that they pray. So eventually, next time we'll talk about in more details, you know, the group eventually got bigger. They met every Sunday. They eventually, they have to move from place to place because whenever they went, people complained. Because it was a big crowd of boys, and boys are boys, you know that. So it was not easy. Eventually, John Bosco have a more permanent place that he was able to rent with a contract, I think somehow like an agreement or a contract that is a long-term lease. Finally, he actually bought the property, and today is where we have the Basilica of the Mary Help of Christians, and the old church of St. Francis de Sales is still there. And there's still a Salesian school there. So it wasn't easy, you know, at the beginning, he had to move from place to place. At one point, he also got extremely sick because he overworked himself. And so he was really, really sick. And then when he was sick, like 4 to 6 priests have to take over all the job that one person was doing.
Wow.
So he was obviously overworked.
Where did he sleep?
He slept.
Oh wait, 5 hours now.
5 hours, right?
Oh right.
Maybe sometimes less than that. Yeah, he was and he was nonstop. John Bosco was nonstop.
He only slept 5 hours.
Yeah, so and then in fact, you know, when he's older age, actually the Pope would disband him from the obligation of saying the divine office, because sometimes it was so busy for him. And but whenever he could, he always pray the divine office. But in those days it was a more difficult obligation than today's. In the old days, you got like 8 canonical hours to pray, and each of them is under serious obligation. You know, if you miss one, you commit mortal sin. If not necessary, if you miss one. So there been some story like there was priest. Before midnight, he found that he had to pray the night prayer. In those days, it's called a complaint. So he was on the car, he would stop the car, and then he would be using the headlight and do his complaint in front of the car. And somebody passed by and said, "It must be a really interesting book to read." You know, he would be reading that on the headlight before the car. You know, so it was a serious obligation in those days. You know, nowadays people, I think the moral theologians generally agree, morning, evening prayer are a serious obligation for the priest. Morning, evening. The other one is important, but not a mortal sin, and you miss that. So he was a busy man. One of the things that he did as a young priest, I think maybe even a seminarian, was that he actually had the gift of healing. But in order to hide that gift of healing, when people got sick, that he would make some bread crumb to make some kind of pill, and give it like a medication to the sick person, and ask him, "Now, okay, you say free Hail Holy Queen every day for 9 days, or you do certain prayer every day for a particular time, you know." So he would tell them to do something spiritual, but also give them the medication, which is just a breadcrumb. So, and then a lot of people, they did the novena, they did the prayer, and they got well. So, you know, one of the men saying, "Wow, this kind of medication is so amazing." So the pharmacist, you know, was really interested in that. And so the man gave some sample to him, and he examined, you know, found it's all bread stuff. And then he gave it to some other specialist to examine if they found the same thing. And so the pharmacist, you know, went to John Bosco and begged him, "You know, give me the formula, you know, we really want that." And so he didn't know how to respond. And then the man came to him and said, "You know, they told me it's only bread, but why I got well?" And then John Bosco said, "But have you said the prayer?" "Yes, I did." "Okay, that's enough." And then so when he found himself discovered, you know, being discovered, then he stopped doing that using those kind of medication stuff. But he actually would just openly give blessing and let them be cured, you know. So not the blessing that one of the important blessings that he composed, that he used a lot of times, is the one that we use at the end of the meeting, the blessing of Mary, help of Christians, that by means of this particular blessing that he cure many people. And so he do have a special gift of healing. Yeah, but when in his younger day he tried to hide that, he used some kind of medication to people. Yeah. But also tell them to do some prayer.
I'm just picturing in my head, like a pill ball just full of, like the little like capsule pills just full of like breadcrumbs.
Yeah. So.
Well, placebo is when you take something and you think it
works. Pretend medication.
Yeah, placebo is the one.
Medication, that is nothing medication. Yeah.